Last time on The Atheists, the Bible, and No Wardrobe, we read from Genesis 13, verse 1 through Genesis 14, verse 11. Uncle Abe and his sniveling nephew Lot decide this desert ain't big enough for the both of them. So Lot packs up his crap and moves to Sodom Hills. Swimming pools, movie stars.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast. Oh, that recap. That, wow. That was, it was very succinct.
Unlike our source material.
Yes, our source material is repetitive and boring. And I started reaching for the hammer. I didn't quite touch it, but I had my hand really close to it.
I keep waiting for God to say, "This is bat country."
Oh, as we left off at 14:11, as I recall. So yes. we're the next line is mine at 14:12. 14:12, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, nephew. Just say nephew. Just say Abram's nephew. See, you don't need to add, see, you replace two words with one. Abram's nephew. Boom. They're getting paid by the fucking word here.
Look at it this way. At least it wasn't Abraham's wife's brother's son.
Abraham's brother's wife's son's nephew's cousin's third.
Twice removed
from George. What does that make us? Nothing. That's like from if you ever seen the movie, what's that? It's Spaceballs, and
oh, yes.
there's that great scene. It's like, I'm Star-Lord and I'm your brother's uncle's nothing something something roommate. What does that make us? Nothing. So,
yes.
I'll start that again. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So he took his shit and left. See, we could have shortened it up here. They took Lot and left, and all his stuff, and left. See? I made... Yep. They're getting paid by the word. They're getting paid by the word.
Evidently, in the last, you know, how many verses, too, we forgot that Lot pitched his tent facing towards Sodom. So we knew, we already knew he was in the vicinity, but we have to be reminded of that.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
14:13, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, he's the Hebrew now.
Oh, now is
for
it?
For he dwelt.
We didn't know what he was before. Now we know. Abram's a Hebrew. Okay.
When did that happen? Did he give himself this name, or I'm confused.
Hebrew in this context, I think it's a title. It's a religious title, I imagine.
Yeah, I guess.
But how did he know he was a Hebrew? And now this is our first mention of that Abram was a Hebrew.
Yeah. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner.
Aner.
These were confederate with Abram.
Is he confederate? Okay. Well, he's from the south? Well, fuck him. No, I'm just saying. Kidding. Those confederates, they're always pushing for slavery, and those bastards are always flying their confederate flags.
Dueling banjos is going on in the background.
Yeah, exactly. 14:14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he aimed at his trained servants, born in his house, the 108, and pursued them unto Dan. Dan do? Where? It's like, how did he find out he's being taken captive? All right, so this guy shows up and says taken captive.
It's not his brother, it's his nephew.
Right. They got this completely wrong.
Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. Is this brother in, like, you know, we're bros sense? Or is referring to his nephew now as his brother? What the?
I don't know. And apparently this is one of those questions if God approves of slavery, I guess.
Okay. Also, it's interesting that we go to Ward, rescue Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. God.
And then they pursued him onto Dan. I hope that's not Fielding.
I think that's a city.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope it's not Dan Fielding. I'm sorry, that's an old TV show. If you don't know who Dan Fielding is, fuck you. It was a funny show. It was funny for its time. But I can see why they'd want to go after Dan. I'm just saying.
Okay. 15. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus.
Well, it's on the left hand of Damascus. Don't go to the right, because then you're in the wrong city. It's like you have like the police come in and they break down the doors like, oh, wait a minute, guys, you're at the wrong house. Oops. Sorry. Well, that front door, we're not going to be paying for that front door either.
There is a side note. Dan is an obvious anachronism, since the city of Dan was not named Dan until the time of Judges. In fact, Dan, for whom the city was named, was not even born yet. Thank you. I was going to say, I know it's referred to in the Bible as a city, but why are we calling it now?
Yeah, why are you calling it now? So this adds more credence that Genesis is not the first book and should not be the first book in the Bible. At least some of these passages shouldn't be in this part of the book anyway, because otherwise we have references to stuff that not even referenced yet until much later in the book.
Right. Well, and it's written so far after the so-called events that unless you have other written history to prove this, to corroborate it,
yeah,
it's entirely subjective. And yeah, written by somebody after the fact.
Yeah,
it could have been
some other city that just happened to be there, and yeah, they just forgot the names. Like, oh yeah, we're just gonna call that one Dan. No one will check. We'll make Dan the bad guy. No one will check. We're up to 16 now. Yes, we are 14, 16.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes,
and he brought back all the goods. He took everything, even the fillings from their teeth. Oh, and he brought against his brother Lot. Lot was his nephew. Okay. And his Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. Okay, so women are not people. You just always say and everybody else. They took his goods and everybody else, men and women, all the men and women, but no, the women and the people. Women aren't people. Women are just cattle at this point.
So how is Abraham managing this? We're talking about kings and armies and everything and all this other kind of crap. Yeah. I mean, he has servants and he has a few other people he banded together with. Mm-hmm. And
what if these cities were? What if these cities that they're claiming were cities? What if they're like little farming communities and they're like, They just happen to have a couple bad rogues that went out and did some shit, you know? And there's like, this is why they were only able to overpower them, because the fact is there's like, they had really no army of their own. You know, this is the story of how the winners write the history.
Yeah.
And they make the bad guys out to be sound really strong, and they were able to get in and chew bubblegum and kick ass, and they haven't invented bubblegum yet, you know?
Well, and I don't even understand what this whole war has been about.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that humans don't need a whole lot of excuse to be dicks to each other and fight over land or property.
Yeah.
All of that kind of thing. But it's not even been made clear to me why this big war was happening.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, but that's not even important to the people of the Bible. They don't even care what they're fighting about. They only care that Abraham came in and kicked some ass.
Yep.
And now everything's fine.
Yep. Now everything is all hunky dory. We got everybody we needed, and plus a few extras.
14:17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Cheddar and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale valley.
The king's dale?
Yeah, dale is another word for a valley.
Oh, the king's valley. Didn't they just say valley? The king's valley.
Because the Bible tries to pretend that it's poetic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was some guy named Dale that came along and was like, "Hey, how you doing?" You took my guy Dale. He was pleasuring me all night long, you know what I'm saying? 14:18 and
Melchizedek.
Mecha like a high, Mecha like a ho, Mecha Kissadek. And Mecha Kissadek, I don't know, whatever his name is, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Not the Lord, but the Most High God. He's the priest of somebody's God. They're showing that there were other beliefs out there. Other people had other beliefs of their God. Maybe it's the same God because they did capitalize the G in this one. They said of the Most High God. Does that mean they're to imply that there are other lower gods than them? Because you can't have the Most High God without having lower gods. It's like saying, oh, okay, I've got a building here, but I've got the lowest part of the building and the most highest part of the building. You don't start at the top and work your way down. Okay? You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand this. Melchizedek, by the way, had no father or mother, beginning or end. Melchizedek was a priest of the high God. And so, according to Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 3.
Yeah.
So Melchizedek was a type of Christ, I think.
Okay.
Again, interesting, he's bringing forth bread and wine, mm-hmm. which is the body and the blood.
The body and the blood. Okay, there's a foreshadowing for Jebus.
Yes, it is.
And exactly. You know what? In the Bible, there is a person named Jebus. I'm just saying. We're not fucking taking that out of... You're not making fun of your imaginary sky wizard son in this instance, but I am right there. But there is some people in the... Well, that's coming up. You'll find out. There are people called Jebus in here. There really is. I kid you not. Let's see here. Where were you?
14:19.
Yeah.
And he, Melchizedek, blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth."
So he's got pink slip says, "Hey, I own this shit. I won it all in a race. I was racing the planets, and I beat the other, and I beat Mercury. So I got the pinks." Mm-hmm.
I really don't know that much about Melchizedek. I just heard a few sermons set in a couple classes where they talk about him. It's possibly one of the many times that Jesus intersected into the Old Testament before he became Jesus, the crucified Savior thing.
So Melchizedek-head is just another
Melchizedek.
is a king. So it's just another foreshadowing for Jebus.
Yeah, that's all I was trying to say. Yeah. I don't believe it, but that's the point.
Yeah, that's, you know, not so like they could
saying,
have gone
hey,
back.
Listen to this guy Abraham because God's blessed him.
Yeah, not like they couldn't go. People from the New Testament couldn't go back and look at the Old Testament and say, "Yeah, we like this particular part of it. Let's make this into this guy." Yeah. Yep. So there's perfectly good evidence here that the whole Jesus story, which we'll get into later, much later, is just a bullshit story to begin with. So, anyway, where were we?
420?
Yeah, 420. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand, and he gave me tithes of all." So this is the first part we're talking about, giving tithes.
Yep.
For, you know, I'm sure pretty much everybody's out there that's listening are familiar with giving tithes. This is not your 10%. Or 20% or whatever you decide to give to the priest in your offerings. The tithes are extra. So you're supposed to give 10% more of everything you've actually earned. So you have to get... So this one here, they're saying he gave him his enemies and gave tithes to gave tithes of all them, basically. So, yeah. It's more garbage. It's more garbage.
14:21, "And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. So you, Abram, you can keep all the gold and TVs and diamonds.
You keep all the keep all the iPads and the iPods, and just give me the person. Just give me the people.
I just want the people. I want the slaves, or I want the, I don't know, maybe they're free men. But they're exchanging people
for
so
goods.
I'm assuming that's slavery.
Yeah, I would say that's give me persons and take the goods. So yeah, this is slavery. This is an exchange of people for goods.
I think so.
Yeah. 14:22, and Abram said to the king Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, of possessor of heaven and earth. And so who owns the earth? I mean, is there a contract somewhere that says who owns it? Because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of things here that says God owns the earth, Satan owns the earth, and humans own the earth. Genesis 14, 19, and 22. Later,
it's a co-op.
Yeah, must be a co-op. Apparently, and Satan later owns it in several other chapters, which we'll get to eventually. And then another one where humans are the ones that own the earth. So who does it belong to? So it can't belong to everybody. It's if one person owns it, one person owns it. I mean, yeah, you can share custody of things like that's a different type. That's a totally different thing altogether. One person, if somebody owns something, I own my toaster. Okay, I could share my toaster, but I still own it. Okay, so I'll let you use it, but I'm the one that paid for it. So if God supposedly made the earth, he should be the owner. He would be the owner. Not humans, not Satan. I'm just saying, he's just letting everybody live there.
14:23, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich.
So
I screwed that up, that reading up really great.
Yeah, that's
excuse
all right.
Me.
A shoe latchet. I was looking at it. I thought it said shoelace. I was like, wait a minute, no, shoe latchet.
That's probably what it means.
That's a good question. You know, it's really, I've never heard of a shoe latchet before, so I'm kind of curious if that's actually a thing that's still around. You know, because this is a very old word. It's usually it comes up on Google really quick with something descriptor, but it doesn't say what it is. It just says literally that which is fastened or to bind with shoes. So it's something that's just something to bind your shoes. So it's shoelaces. Just say fucking shoelaces.
I know.
All this extra wording, you know, fancy wording. Just say shoelaces. Well, they probably called them shoe latchets at that time because they didn't have a word for shoelaces at that time, I guess. 14:24. Save only that which the young men have eaten. Ew. And the potion of and a portion of the men and the portion of the men which went with me, Adner, Eshel, and Miner, let them take their portion. Oh, at least doling everything out.
Actually, never mind. I'm looking back, and this is Abram talking to the king of Sodom, because he said, you know, you get all the goods, and I'm just taking the people. And he said, I'm not going to take anything.
Right.
All right. Lest you say that you're the one who made me rich instead of just God making me rich.
Right.
So he wants to keep his upline, scam upline, only God. You know, he's not going to take any handouts. Thank you very much, Sodom, you Sodomite king. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take your stuff. And I just got my stuff. You take your stuff, and we'll be happy.
Yeah.
I'll sit over here being happy.
I don't like
that.
I'm
not even going to take your shoelaces, man.
Yeah, I don't like this line where he says, I'll take only which the young men have eaten. I guess he's just taking the stuff that the young men like to eat. He's like, yeah, they like those younger apples. They don't like the old apples. You know, we'll take all the hip food. We'll take all the hip stuff because we know that the young men, they aren't into that old timey, grimy shit food that we eat because we're eating, you know, things that, you know, out of sand and whatnot. They don't want to eat sand anymore. These hipsters nowadays, they just want to eat like stuff that's like edible. Ugh.
Oh, goodness.
That's the way I'm reading it anyway.
Genesis 15:1, chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward."
Awesome.
Aww.
Fear not. I've come to you in a vision. He's smoking something. It's right here. Right here. He's doing drugs. Abram is doing drugs. How else do you have visions? Doing drugs.
Fasting
is one.
That'll give
you
some visions.
Uh huh. Doing drugs will give you better visions. I'm just saying. Not anything personal experience on that. I'm just saying I've heard. Okay. I don't do illegal drugs. I do the legal kind, the stuff that you get over the counter. That's all I'm saying. Seriously, I've never done illegal drugs. 15:2, and Abram said, "Lord, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing though I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Elsner of Damascus?" What is he? I have no children, so what am I supposed to do? Okay. So go fucking find some bitch and bang her up because she ain't going to get mentioned anyway.
I'm not quite sure why he says this.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense either. I mean, to me, it just doesn't. I mean, why does he care? I mean, why is this a big deal? I mean, if you ask
well,
any...
God promised him he's going to have, you know, kids and grandkids and great-grandkids until it's, you can't even count it, like the sands on the beach, you know.
Okay.
So it's sands through the hourglass, so are the days of your life, man. And God says, "Yeah, well, guess what? I am your reward. This is it, me."
Yeah.
And Abram says, "Yeah, well, where's the kids you promised me, man?"
Yeah, you know, see, yeah. To me, being a parent, and you're being a parent too, when you have kids, you might as well own an anchor attached to your waist. Okay, you have kids. You can't move around a lot with these kids. I mean, kids, yeah, you can, but you hear nothing but shit the rest of your life from these kids. Like, "Oh, I had friends at that school. I got to leave all my friends behind. Why are we going over here? It's too hot. It's too cold. I got crap in my diaper." You know, it just, you hear nothing but anguish from little kids. I mean, the fact that everybody has kids at all is just amazing.
The grass is always greener. Right now, he doesn't have any grass. He might not have grass, but he doesn't have kids.
Well, he's probably got grass. He's been having visions. He's got lots of grass. But you have kids. You're not getting any more grass. I'm just saying.
15:3, and Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." What? Oh, and lo, one born in my house is my heir.
Your heir. Wouldn't that mean that's your kid?
I don't understand that.
I don't understand. I'm not.
I mean, I understand that he hasn't had a kid yet, but.
But if you have an heir, that usually means that, you know, that means that there's somebody related to you down the line.
Is he talking about Eliezer of Damascus? The steward of the house? I don't know.
I don't know. It's not really clear.
Okay, sorry, I don't get it.
I'm sorry. If there's anybody out there that would like to explain this to us, I should have
studied more before we started this.
That's okay. If someone wants to explain this to us, by the time you email us about this, we have forgotten all about it. So
don't worry about it.
We're at this moment, we care, but down the line, we don't care. So I'm kidding. 15:4, and behold... Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Out of your bowels? Ew.
I don't think God knows how sex works.
I don't think he knows how sex works either. I'm just saying, because coming forth out of your bowels. Okay, for people who are more less delicate that are, have made it through the show this far. Bowels are where you shit from. This is where all your shit and garbage goes into your stomach. It leaves your stomach and goes into your intestines. And that's your bowels. You don't reproduce from your bowels. There's
at
no
the
way
very
you
least,
could.
This shows the lack of understanding of the translators of the Bible, of how it works.
Yeah, or it just maybe they did get it right, and they just think they this is what the guy said. He said bowels because the person that wrote this doesn't know how sex works because he hasn't had any.
Because he's a monk in a monastery.
Yeah.
Somewhere, you know, copying doesn't, this for the 50 yeah, millionth time.
Yeah, doesn't know what a bowel is.
Oh, here's a very famous verse from the Bible. 15:5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. I love it when somebody is so fucking ambiguous that they use the word he all the time, yep. Or I, and you don't know who the hell they're talking about.
Right.
Obviously, God took... He brought him forth abroad. So evidently God took him on a little space trip.
Yep.
And set him up and said, Abram, look up at the sky. Look at the stars, you know.
I've had arguments with Christians saying that they would have this many stars would be the number of people they're going to have or births they're going to have or whatever. That's basically what they're saying. As many stars as there are in the sky is how many people you're going to have. Children, as many children you're going to have. There are literally, even in the, just in the what you can see with the naked eye, there are literally billions of stars. Billions. We don't have billions of children from one person. It's just not possible.
No. No. That's given a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
No. Even the ones that lived 900 years, supposedly 900 years old, I'm giving air quotes, only had so many children. They didn't have that many of them.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Where were we? Oh,
6.
Okay. 15:6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So he believed him. Big hairy deal.
15:7, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it.
15:8, I have nothing to say on that last line. He's like,
nope,
okay, give them the land. Oh, big deal. 15:8, and he said, Lord God, why did he, it's like saying, okay, King, King, King. Why do they have to keep repeating it? Doesn't make any sense. Where shall I know that I shalt inherit it? Whereby shall I know I shall inherit it? Okay, I'm reading this as like, okay, God, tell me when I'm going to get my shit.
You know, I guess I have to give Abram a little bit of props that he's like, yeah, where's the proof?
Yeah.
When
am I going to get my
shake
shit
on this deal, God?
Yeah, I want. Don't put your show me your other hand. I don't want to see your finger behind your back.
This better not be like the time where I just walked out and you sent me into a place and there's famine.
Right.
I heard you snickering up there, like, what a fool, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so 15:9, and he said unto him, "Oh, please take me." Okay, so God told him, he and him. Fuck that. All right. Take me an heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Obviously not 3 years old because birds don't live that long.
No, they do not live that long.
So he likes them when they're just a little bit older than a baby.
Right.
He wants them a little bit fat. Well, awesome.
Okay. I just like, okay. Now the thing here is that, what apparently these animals are going to be here for sacrifice because according to going into the next line 15:10, and they took unto him all of these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. It's just, this is the part where he just wants something to kill. He wants that's the only reason why he's taking these things at this particular age. So he has something to kill for God.
Yep. 15:11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. So, the carrion tried to eat his sacrifice.
Yep, tried to eat the sacrifices, and the fowls. The carrion eaters came down for the carcasses. You know, because they don't cook anything. We'll read one more, and then we're gonna have to. We're up against the clock here. 15:12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him.
He's afraid of the dark.
He's afraid of the dark, man. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm afraid of the dark. I forgot my torch is back at the house.
He's laying next to a huge pile of
dead animals.
Animal flesh.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah, I would. I'd be a little afraid laying next to a bunch of animal flesh with, you know, animals trying to come out of the wilderness trying to eat this shit. I'd be a little worried too about getting killed because they start attacking me. You know,
that'll teach Abram to ask God for proof.
Yeah,
again,
ask me for proof, you fucker. Try it again. Come on. Well, if you like the show, and you want to follow us on Twitter, we are on twitter.com/ABANW podcast. If you would like to follow us on Patreon, that's at patreon.com/ABANDNW. We also have a Facebook account. That's facebook.com/ABANDNW. That's all those letters, ABANDNW. And our blog is at abandnw.wordpress.com. And you can find all the links to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker there to... You know, follow on your favorite podcatcher of choice. If you have any questions, you can, or comments or email that you'd like to send to us, hate mail or love mail, whatever you want to send us, you can send it to tatbanw@gmail.com. That's tatbanw@gmail.com. And also be sure to check out our main show, Packard Pokes At, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, Speaker, and on YouTube. And please remember to leave us five stars and a review on iTunes and Stitcher and Spreaker or wherever you're listening to this at. And we'll be back next time with more. So just in case you're curious of what's going to happen, because I'm on the edge of my seat. How about you, Connie?
I'm waiting for Freddy Krueger to come out of that pile of meat.
I'm waiting for Jason to come out like with a hockey mask. You know. So anyway, this has been The Atheist...
The Bible.
And No Wardrobe, the podcast.